And this morning's reading is taken from Matthew chapter 6, and that can be found on page 970 in the Church Bibles. Matthew 6, starting at verse 1. Be careful not to do your acts of neighbourliness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honoured by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Sometimes it's the old children's songs that have profound meaning. Last week we had Prayer is Like a Telephone. But this week my mind's kept coming back to another old children's song, J-O-Y, to the tune of Jingle Bells. Do you know it?
No.
Oh, you soon will. Oh. Colin, can we have some sound? We've got sound. Are we plugged in? We're plugged in. I'll do it without any accompaniment. It goes like this. J-O-Y, J-O-Y, surely this must mean Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. Joy! J-O-Y, J-O-Y, surely this must mean Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between.
Joy!
Yeah.
No.
Don't know that one. No. Some profound theological truths, but it's a truth that's absolutely, totally cross-cultural. The idea that you find true joy not by putting yourself first, but last. Putting others ahead of ourselves, and putting Jesus in the driving seat, first of all. After all, that's what it means to say Jesus is Lord. A Lord gets to set the agenda of our lives. He comes first. In that passage that David read to us this morning, Jesus addresses those times when we let Jesus is Lord become a statement of our religion rather than a statement of our discipleship. A statement of our aspiration rather than a statement of the way we live. When we do our religious duty supposedly for God, but in fact we've slipped back into looking after number one first of all. When it's more important to us what we get out of it, maybe in terms of what other people think of us, rather than what God thinks of us. Effectively, when our joy becomes our yodge. When instead of offering joyful worship, we offer yodgeful worship. Let's look at today's passage. It's on page 970 in the Church Bibles. And actually, I'm going to start on the previous page because Jesus is still talking about the theme he introduced back in chapter 5, verse 20, when he talked of righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees. Chapter 5, verse 20. Or in modern English, right living that's better than that of the religious folk. And then for the rest of the chapter, he's addressed six examples of right living expressed through right relationships with other people. And now, as chapter 6 starts, page 970, he turns to address right living expressed through a right relationship with God. In particular, as expressed through giving, through praying, and through fasting. Though he could actually have been talking about any act of worship that we do for God. But he puts a spotlight on the difference between religion on the one hand and discipleship on the other. Between religion, which is about doing the right thing, and discipleship, which is doing it for the right reasons. And the difference, Jesus says, is the audience. Who are you doing it for? Who is your act of worship for this morning? Who are you seeking to please? Is my worship done to receive the applause of others, thus boost my self-image? Or is it done purely out of a love for God? We know we're just being religious when we do some religious-looking thing just to impress or to please someone else. But we're being true followers of Jesus. We're being true disciples when maybe we do exactly the same thing, but we do it purely out of a love for God. Hence, verse 2, Jesus says, when you give to the needy, if you do it in all, for recognition by others, then getting their recognition is all the reward you're going to get. Verse 5, when you pray, if you pray in order to be heard by others, then their noticing is all the reward that you're going to get. Verse 16, when you fast, if you feel it necessary to let others know that you're fasting, then their awareness is all the reward you're going to get, Jesus says. Doing what we do for any audience other than for God is not worship. The examples he uses are giving, praying, and fasting. But he could be talking about any act of worship. We could include being here in church this morning. We could include receiving communion, which we'll do later on in the second part of our service. And it's especially a trap when we are serving. Serving is a particular expression of our worship, but it can be a temptation to do it so that others see us, rather than out of love for the Lord. Whether that's preaching, or singing, or playing in the band, whether it's welcoming it at the door, serving coffee, reading, leading prayers, flag waving, cleaning the toilets, whatever it is, any act of worship that you have half an eye on what others think of you is not an act of worship to God, Jesus says. It's an act of self-worship, concerned only for self-image. Jesus is pretty blunt, isn't he? I mean, that's not really a comfortable thing to be said. But he's saying any worship, any act of worship, must be for an audience of one. One only. And that one isn't anybody else. It isn't yourself. It's for God alone. Because anything else won't be joyful worship, but yodgeful worship, which has no reward from God. When Jesus talked about rewards for worship, it sounds like, hang on, isn't he defeating his own argument here? If I worship God right, then I get a reward. That sounds like worshipping for self-interest. I'm actually really looking after myself because I'm motivated by the reward I'm going to get. But I think that the reward Jesus is talking about is the Father's pleasure. The reward is the joy of a right relationship with God, expressed in joyful worship. So may our every act of worship this week be joyful. Not yodgeful for the audience around us or for ourselves, self-serving even in a small way, but joyful worship for the audience of one, for God. Worship focused on Him without regard to others or self.